She's got dumps like a truck, truck, truck. Thighs like what? Baby, move your butt. I think I say it again. She's got dumps like a truck, truck, truck. Thighs like what? All night long. Let me see that thong. I never wore a thong a day in my life. That's how you get fucking grotta.
You're listening to that blessed and highly flavored podcast. It's only because a nigga blessed.
Welcome back to Black Oak Couch Reviews. I'm your host, Christina. We are back for another episode of Dark, Season 3, Episode 2, The Survivors. This episode was written by Jan G. Freeze and Mark O. Song, directed by Baron Bo Odar. I gave this episode an 8.9 out of 10. I really enjoyed it, but every time I get into this show, like, what the fuck is happening? What is going on? My mind just cannot process so much information. And I'm usually down with the deep and the analytical, and I am really like down with it. My brain just can't come up with even a good theory after each episode because I'm kind of like, okay. And then what happened? I'm not going to theorize anymore on this show. I have no idea. I'm going to let them tell me. Every time I even think I have a bit of a clue.
Make a U-turn. Let's keep our enemies guessing.
So this episode began with some fucking, and the first thing I said to myself, for fuck's sake, this better not be Jonas humping his aunt again. But actually, I don't think it was. It was Martha who was banging someone who looked like Jonas. I am now dubbing Martha the female Jonas of her world, who is just named Martha, who is also the name of the female version of Jonas's obsession. So the way or whatever happens down in her world, this Martha female version of Jonas reacts in the exact same way as our Jonas. That was convoluted, I know, but it makes sense in my brain. She's waking from a nightmare. We saw a few things. There was tape, blood. They were by the caves. She was holding a wound. She had a silver medallion. It looked like the Saint Christopher, right? She had blood on her face, and she had the yellow rain jacket on. This all is something that's gonna happen. And then we get to the end of the episode when she's like, things always happen. They may happen a little differently, but they all go to the same type of conclusion that's all going to lead to the end of the world, right? When Martha wakes in 1888? It was not 1988. Thank you to, I'm sorry, I forgot their name, their login. I think it was 3644. On Podbean for pointing that out to me. I should have known. It said it on the screen in big bold letters. However, this is not 1988, it's 1888. And when she wakes in a very familiar bed in a room, there's fucking Jonas.
Creeper. Oh man.
Adult Jonas creeps me out, man. He's over aggressive. He need to stop putting his hands on women like that is okay. And he's holding this letter he thought his Martha wrote, and she has not answered at this point on who was the exact author on this. I'm not sure if she's holding that card close. I don't know. But he tells her to get dressed. He mad. So she goes down, meets the group, all of the people that was in Katarina's living room that evaded obliteration. In their world, they traveled back in time to 1888. Turns out they just got there and now they're stuck there, which sounds like the worst if you're from 2020. And most of them is teenagers, man. This would be like the worst. Like, oh, hell no. I don't even get the benefit. God, I even know the fact that I know that there are better things out in the world and I'm stuck with this bullshit. But we got Bartos there, Magnus, and Francisca, who doesn't have much of a role, I must say, except for showing her titties and her ass. I didn't do it. They did it. And after a very awkward hug from Magnus, she explains, actually, I'm not Martha. Now you're Martha. I'm from another world. Well, she says that differently, or when she's explaining. But she says, I made a promise to fix everything. This is the second time she's brought this up. So that you don't die in my world and I don't die in yours.
Explain to me. Explain to me!
Then we move to September 22nd, 1987. I'm going to call this the Alpha World. Because I've been watching Counterpart and that's a good way to differentiate between the worlds that we're going to be hopping at. Because I have a feeling they're being real gentle. Like even in this episode, it was not gentle with the timeline hopping. But I feel it's going to get even more egregiously hard to follow without setting some ground rules for my mental brain in the following episodes. Katarina wakes in Mikkel's room. So when she went in the cave and the world ended in 2020, she went back in time to 1987. And she is staring at the photo of Mikkel and herself in... was it herself and Mikkel or was it Ennis and Mikkel? I didn't really get a good look because I was too focused on the fact that she was in Jonas's bed and it was weird and she had them pajamas on and she looked like a crazy person and I feel her. I stand Katarina so hard. She is my favorite character by far. That she would be the black character if there were black people in this series. But turns out that Mikkel has been missing for 3 months. She's been setting up posters. At first, yeah, it took me a moment to figure out that she had broke into this woman. They were giving it all to us, though, because they had the broken glass. They had the photo. It's clear that no one's been here in a while. They even called and it was Ennis and Michael Conwald, whatever the name. She's been crashing here trying to find this bitch who really stole her son. That's what I'm going to name Ennis because I'm not feeling this character whatsoever. She knew. She was told. And she kind of sort of believed it, but said, I really want a son and I love him and he'll eventually learn to love me, even though I have to sedate him to make him forget about the world in which the time period in which he comes from. Mads is being buried this day, sans his body, and they're all at her home. I forgot the wife's name, I apologize, but she is being pacified by the preacher. She's not trying to hear it. She's drinking like, oh, it's so great that I went ahead and buried my son, whose body I've yet to find, and there's my husband across the room, politely socializing. This was probably his idea. So she decides to toast him and then tell the entire room, why don't you say where you was at when your son was missing? Oh, you don't want to say nothing? You just want to come over here and take my liquor away? Like, that's going to shut me up? Yeah, he was fucking his mistress. Her name's Claudia Tiedemann, by the way. That's what he was doing when my child went missing. And maybe as a journalist, if he devoted some of that same energy he gave to his mistress, he might not have gone. Then Trante gonna do the dumbest thing you can ever do when you know your wife knows. I get she embarrassed you, but you deserved it. His mouth gonna fashion around the words, I don't.
Oh, don't do it. Yeah. Oh my God.
He didn't even need to finish because she was already out that chair, grabbed his satchel, dumped all the shit on the floor, which was a whole bunch of articles about the missing Claudia, not one about his son, and says, oh. So you still don't know what I'm saying?
All I want you to do is send an ambulance because I'm finna bust a cap in these fools.
Why are you running?
I was that person in the corner applauding, eating popcorn, recording on my non-iPhone. I guess it'll be an actual camcorder. Like, ooh, girl, this tea. This is the best funeral ever. This is what I would totally do, though. This is the way to get back at somebody when they pissing you off and they're not even acknowledging that they did wrong. Just drag them for filth. Claudia apparently went missing, which we knew this, the same day her daddy went missing, or her daddy died, I should say, and then that Jonas showed up. There's so much. The only conspiracy, which I'm going to throw out right now, that I do think maybe right, is there's two Jonases. Two Jonases that diverged into two timelines, and that's why one is named Jonas, the other's named Adam. That's all I got. We moved to September 22nd of 2020. This has been 3 months post, because I love how they're moving 3 months in each timeline. 3 months since the catastrophe that happened in Wendon at the power plant. Claudia goes to the police station, the 1980s version of her, where she ain't an old woman yet, where Regina is still lying there very comfortably dying. She gets her some meds though. Dead Peter and young Elizabeth, they stay in a trailer. They're being followed by someone. As soon as I saw that creepy person around the corner, I knew it was Noah. I just knew it was Noah, because he's the only dude that always creeping around a bush or something. Fucking I don't even feel comfortable with the fact that Noah, he knows that his wife in the future, but don't be looking at a little girl like that. It's just, and then when did Elizabeth turn 14 to 15? Last time I checked, she was like 12 years old. Not even. I figured she was 10. Talking about I'm not grown. I'm a grown ass woman now. What? I'm sorry? Yes, okay. Maybe you could get married and your menstrual drops so you can have babies. But last time I checked, you was a baby. So no, this grown ass man talking about a boy. Noah is not a boy. He is like 19. Y'all need to give me some time to be comfortable with this relationship. I get it happens in the future. I'm fine with that. I don't need to see it happening when she's still legally underage. But they're staying in a trailer. They go to the military zone where we learn that the area that the explosion occurred at, everything in town, has been evacuated. And in 5 days, they're going to be sealing or walling the place up. It's going to be a restricted area. Then the one man's going to say, why are you going to take your little girl to do this? Sir, get out of my business and my life. She just went through a whole bunch of tragedy that you just showed up to help. So shut the fuck up. Let me pass through. Because I didn't even know what he was like. I thought maybe they were going to actually go through some dead bodies. Look at that photos. Get the hell out of here. Meanwhile, after hearing that there's a parallel world back in 1888, Magnus can only process the fact that he can't be dead. He's still right here. Fran can only comprehend the fact that she's actually the one that's deaf. Both of their reactions did not seem on par with the words, there's another world and there's, you got doppelgangers. That's basically what she's saying. And those doppelgangers are living different lives. And you literally have traveled back in time to 1888 talking about, that's some bullshit. At least Jonas was asking the real questions. Like, how the hell did you get here? Because we need to get back home or anywhere else that's not 1888. Then Jonas gets hostile again, which I'm still not okay with. Putting his hands without permission. Apparently that's catching in this group of people. And says, well, how the fuck did you find us? She said, Jonas told me. No, he didn't, because I'm right here and I'm a grown ass man and I didn't travel. That didn't happen. So this is my idea that, no, there are two Jonases. One that's going to be in this timeline who might get murked by Bartos in the near future and Magnus. And Adam, who actually traveled with the other Martha and got stuck in the other world, right? At least that's my supposition at this point. He tells her she's lying. He's still up in arms about this forged letter. When in walks this guy that tells him that the electricity is running late today. Y'all ain't working. Get back to it. What's happening? He's blind. This is an older version of Tanis. So this is Helge's great-great-grandfather, my guess? Or great-grandfather? Or just grandfather? I don't know. I mean, that feels like a whole bunch of years. Whatever the case may be, he unsolicited starts touching all over Martha's face. Talking about, is this why Jonas is in such a bad mood? And he says, don't be worried or concerned. I see more than people who don't. Poor Katerina is at the school in 1987 looking for Mikkel, runs into her younger self and Ulrich. Her younger self cannot apparently stop kissing Ulrich no matter how much Hannah tells her, calls her by her full name too. Like, bitch, you get to class on time. Don't worry about me. I didn't ask you to stay around. It's my boyfriend because you can't stand me kissing him. But she started to ask Ulrich if he saw Mikkel, which he should have said. He says maybe the lunatic took him. He's like, what you talking about? And that's when Katerina the younger shows up. And then the older Katerina remembers having this memory at the same time.
Jesus Christ.
Ulrich also has some bandages on his face. Who the hell beat his ass? I don't recall. Oh, maybe is this after... No, actually, I don't know when this was. Thought I had an idea, or maybe someone, what is it, Regina's boyfriend beat him up, but I actually don't remember that very clearly. Hannah's still creeping around even though everyone has gone. And she is the one that tells her about the lunatic from the hospital who ran off with Mikkel to the caves. Then she assaults the little devil. She's like, I don't give a fuck that you're 14. You stay the fuck away from Ulrich and you stay away from my son. Trante, more concerned about missing Claudia than his own missing son, is at the power plant chasing down any lead from the now Preggers secretary. I forgot her name. Even when they said it in an episode, I still forgot her name. Who tells him all about the old woman that came to visit and the dog. And how she claimed it was her dog. And she changed after that. So that's the last I know about the week. My question was, if Trante and Claudia were so in love, and as I was starting to suspect even in my notes before they try to really confirm it, that Regina was their child, why didn't they just marry? What was the issue? She couldn't marry down? I'm very confoodled on why, or maybe he got two women pregnant at the same time. He was having an affair. Maybe he was having the affair. He got her, the other one, pregnant with Mads, and then he started messing with his side piece still, got her pregnant. He trash. In 2020, Claudia is setting up her very familiar and familial board of all the families in Winden. So this is her starting her journey to get her baby back after what happens at the end of this episode. I did love the transition to the wall of the families, to the wall of the recovered bodies back in the future of 2020. They told us a lot of people died that did not make the explosion, which I guess you were right there. Waller died, the annoying detective guy died, Regina's husband died. Everyone did not make it. I was really the most sad about Waller. I forgot he was even there. But no Charlotte and no Fran, and both father and son deduce that they must have traveled. So it's a good thing they're not there. We just don't know where the hell they are. Is this why she's committed to Sigmundus in the future, I wrote in my notes? Stay tuned, because apparently the story's gonna tell me. Katerina is storming in the police station back in 1987, as she is just, that girl is a whirlwind, okay? Harasses the detective about her son, who he thinks that she's just a crazy person. You ain't got no papers, no birth certificate. You won't even tell me your name. You keep saying this is your son, but you ain't got no proof that this is your son. But you know it's not Ennis. You know it's not innocent, okay? Why don't you do this thing called a DNA test? 1987 ain't that far away from the DNA testing, is all I'm trying to say. But I don't have any concrete proof on that, so if someone does, you can correct me. But he tells her Ennis and Michael are in protective custody, so you're not going to find where they are. And the man is back in the psych ward where he's been for the last 34 years. And Kat finally realizes who that man is. This just occurred to me. If Katarina is able to bust out Ulrich, they're going to be looking for their kids. All three of their kids in 1987, because he saw them last there. Oh, Trante stops at the bus stop and offers a ride to Regina, who has Gretchen, then starts interrogating her.
Oh my God!
Like I said, Trante is trash. I don't care if he's like, oh, I thought she would have told you about me because I'm your daddy. This is selfish as shit. You see, she is all types of messed up over her mother's sudden disappearance. Apparently, she just moves in with another guy. There's no... They do things different in Germany. She's still in high school. There's no way she'd be able to stay at the house by herself. As soon as he starts making her uncomfortable, though, she's like, I want out of this car. I don't want anything to do with you. Because maybe her mother did bring it up. Maybe she didn't. But she don't feel right about the way he's talking to her. And I wouldn't either. Claudia has the time machine back in... 3 months after the explosion, but it is broken because, as the same is said in 1888, it's hard to get nuclear material right now. And apparently Claudia can't even get material from the power plant because it all went kaboom. Now there's a line that has come up quite a bit this episode, and I remember it being said by Claudia, the older version, when she walked into Mikkel and Jonas hugging right before he was going to commit suicide because he thought that was his mission in life. She said the words, I've seen the world without you. Trust me, it's not better. So is there some inclination here that she might fix this time machine and get the fuck out of Dodge of 2020 or whatever? And make her way to this other world, possibly? Because it feels as if the time machine after the implosion might have got wonky. I don't know. Because usually they could figure out where they're going. And instead of them going to any other timeline, they ended up. And I mean the 1888 folks there. It seems as if it happened versus they made this their destination. But it's something to think about since it has come up quite a few times, even by Martha herself, at least 3 times in this season. And they always say it like Jonas made this happen in his world. Like, you said you wanted a world without you. I didn't fucking blink it into existence unless he really is God. Anyhow, Elizabeth and Peter go to the Conwalds. I just don't want to say that right when I see it the first time. Walks into their home and they are taking a look around. She's seeing some photos. In walks Noah. He always got that dark, ominous music. Like, just don't trust this guy. He seems so different in that picture when he has a child. What happened to these two men? I have no idea. One must have traveled clearly to the future and met up with Adam and they became friends. And then another one. My brain wants to go to some conclusions, but then I can't find any material to support the rest of my thought process. But back to what I was saying, if I have it right, Noah is going to somehow find his way away from his Elizabeth with his daughter, mind you. He's going to take her back to this time, to wherever, where she's going to grow up. And then he's probably going to be stuck there as well. So then he has to live out the rest of his life until the shit goes down, or he continues to find more ways to travel around. I don't know, but somewhere in this plan, things get lost in the sauce. We need to fill in the gaps. But he's young and just creepy right now. But he says, I'm looking for food. He's trying to learn how to sign. I thought that was cute if he wasn't an adult and this was like not a 14-year-old. But really just wants to chat. She asks where he sleeps. She says in the cave. She actually wrote down that she's looking for mom and sister. He tells Peter, who comes down and says, I told you to stay away from us, that he will protect Elizabeth when Peter gets killed.
Excuse me? What the air?
Wow, that's quite a thing to land on me, but Peter also has been tracking future events for a while now, so, I mean, I get him not being like, well, tell me more, so I can avoid that. But also, now I'm going back, how did Noah know that? Clearly his older self went back to his younger self and told him that, but Noah died at the hands of Adam, so clearly he didn't know about that plot twist coming for the end of his life. Like, when his life began, technically, as far as the new path that Adam sent him on, it was never going to end well, because he left before he got murdered by his sister. Jesus Christ. The crazy mess of this. Oh, it's brilliant. Do not get me wrong. It is absolutely brilliant. But back to this letter then. If he had the letter when he left that house to give to Jonas to make sure that he left, right? Then my guess it, wait, yes, right? Okay. I think I'm doing something with my brain. Okay, so he, Jonas that is, recognized that letter as from Martha. Martha was dead. The other Martha that came from the other world seemingly popped up just to grab the other Jonas to take him back in time. Plus Bartos, plus Magnus, plus Fran. We know out of three of those people, there's Adam who lives, that's Jonas. Maybe he replaces his old self. God only knows. Oh my God, what if he killed his own self? Then there's Magnus, who's still alive. Fran, that seems to be with him, still alive. And let's be real, she has no role. Martha, the older, might be part of the Sic Mundus, who sticks around with the 1888 crew. And she, the older version, wrote that letter. That's where all I got to get him to go. Because I don't think it was her younger self. Maybe. Because your handwriting doesn't matter how old you are when you wrote the letter. I'm just thinking, how could the younger Noah have that letter given to him? Who would have written that? It would have been Martha, who clearly wrote that. It's just, which Martha? The older version or the one that showed up who's still young? But something tells me, I don't know, some shenanigans gonna happen in 1988. Speaking of the Tannis factory, 1888, I keep wanting to say 19 because I'm not used to using the words 18 ever. That is not a time frame in which I reference whatsoever. Bartos goes to Martha's room to tell her, look, Jonas and changed since he got here. I'm sorry about that. This year that we got to wasn't really planned and now we're stranded. She begins to ask some questions like, oh, who's this man? Does he know who you guys are? He says, well, I need to show you something, so you must come with me. Old man is talking to Jonas, who is still looking at this damn letter, his lifeline of hope. And he knows what they are, clearly that they're travelers. He tells them, what I found you was a miracle. And that this woman shouldn't jeopardize the mission to create paradise, to reverse all the pain and calamity. He has to stick to what they're doing. I'm guessing this is creating the God particle. This is where I'm getting a little woozy on the Adam. This is Adam's crew, but is Adam Adam or is it Adam Jonas? Lord Jesus. But he does have Sic Mundus on his cane, which is a badass cane, by the way. And he might kill someone with it or slash someone across the face. Meanwhile, 1987, Kat goes to the psych ward and comes in contact with her mother, Helen Albers, and asked to speak, even though she is visibly shook and crying with her husband, Ulrich. Mama gonna call her one of the lunatic groupies. And I said, girl, she said, come back tomorrow. That's a lot of supposition on your part, ma'am. She calls out her mother having the patron saint of travelers, and she says, look, I've traveled a long way. Don't make me kill you. She didn't actually say it, but it was in her face. And then she gets her first look at Ulrich, who had just been released from the solitary unit. He hadn't spent so much time there. They call him the inspector. This poor man did not deserve all this for making a mistake in another woman's vagina. He really didn't. I mean, I really feel bad for him. And she sits down, looks at him. He don't even look up. He's in his own world. Why wouldn't you be? You just saw your son. You had a chance to get back, and now it's been taken from you. Plus, he spent 3 months in solitary confinement, going insane about that. And he looks up after she calls his name, and she covers his very trembling hands, because all he can say is Katerina. And she vows to get him out. I stand her so hard. She says, I don't care about the past. I don't care about your mistake. You're my husband. These are our children. This is our family. I'm ride or die. Ride or die. Even if I kicked you out of the fucking house because you with some other chick, you are still the father of my children. And that bitch is crazy. So we could have worked it out is all I'm saying. You didn't deserve this and she knows it. Claudia's secretary, Barry Preggers, is, you know, running around the plant, apparently cutting off the lights. There is the security. Security should be doing checks and should be cutting off the lights. Girl, you pregnant, go home. When she walks into Claudia's office, and there goes the Grim Reaper squad.
Danger, danger, I don't fit in, I'm a stranger. Believer, believer, I can take out all the evil.
Let me tell you something. All three of them are terrifying, but that damn kid, that kid puts the fear of the devil. And that is definitely a kid that ain't right, okay? He's a kid that gonna grow up and be a serial killer walking around choking or murdering pregnant women. He definitely looked like it, and they should have spotted that shit. Who the hell is these people? Or this person, I should say. Who is this? Jasmine, that's her name, because he calls her Jasmine. Who the hell is he? Why is he so mad? I looked up cleft palate and cleft lip because I wanted to see if this was something, I don't know what's the word I was thinking, like a relation to incest, because this is the kind of show we're watching right now. But it also could be, it's rare, by the way, even though it said it was the fourth most common birth defect in the U.S. But the factors are still unknown, but they think it may be chemicals exposed to the fetus during pregnancy. I'm not sure why I'm taking so much of an interest in here, except to think that this is the child born of something that went real wrong when the mama was pregnant. What if this is fucking Hannah's kid? Hannah's freaking crazy ass. This would make sense if it was Hannah's kid, because Hannah's batshit crazy. And she had two children. One's God and one's the fucking devil. Because these people are these is the demons, okay? Or this guy, he's the demon. He's the guy I would not want to see turning around looking at me. Jasmine threatens to call security. And when they sucker her, she should have ran her ass the hell out of there. What was she thinking? I would have been so, I'm like, oh, I mean, they were blocking the door, but girl, fight or flight. I wouldn't have made it easy. I didn't think they was really gonna kill her though. But he said, the hell is empty and all the devils are here.
Run, bitch, run!
And let me tell you something. That one line spoken by him made me fear for my life more than when it was spoken by one Ford from Westworld.
Everybody!
That is an inside joke, so if you do not get it, it's fine. Chante moseys his ass home to wifey on the couch telling him he needs to be there for us or against us. I'm not trying to play no games. I'm done. And he mentions seeing Regina. She says, it's funny Claudia never said who the daddy is. And he says, you know, you're right. I need to choose. And he chose his wife so quick. So quick. Did he not? Ugh. And he confirmed my theory. Regina, still dying in the apocalypse, or after the apocalypse, whatever you want to call it, is approached by Odor Trante. I didn't even know he survived. Like, where was he? Was he in the cave or in the bunker? I may have missed that because he sure didn't think to grab his wife. Where'd he even come from? I did not see him in the bunker. But he comes in. He promptly says that I have to do this. It's the only way to save her. And then he takes a pillow and strangles his own seed. I mean, she was already 1 foot out the door anyway. I know that does not justify him murdering her like that, but it was better than hanging on to struggle. She calling out for her mama. I thought that Claudia must have sent Trante. Maybe it was the other wifey who said, you still gotta choose, motherfucker, you better take her out. Claudia's back. I'm not having this. I'm not having it. But it's not funny. Clearly Claudia did not know because she came in and was devastated. At the camper, Elizabeth wants answers. Like, what did he say to you? Because I didn't hear it and y'all didn't sign. And that was rude. And I love the fact that she's getting all up in his face, pushing him. Like, girl, don't put your hands on him. But he understands it's rough times right now. And I like the fact that he did not erupt. He didn't explode. He just sat her back down, went to cooking dinner. Lentils, because that looks gross. And then comfort her when she started to cry. Peter is a good dad. He's like, I get it. I understand. I'm not going to be mad about it. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm about to die because that's the last thing you need to hear right now. September 22nd of 2053. Adult Charlotte is with adult Elizabeth. Looking at her dad and mom in a photo. Her mom, who's also her daughter, who walks over and tells her that everything is going to be okay. And this has clearly been their life for 3 months. And Charlotte's probably thinking, oh my God, I have a whole family too. Except that Fran is kind of, you know, not as important. They're also in the cave. Back in 1987, Katerina's just at the table listening to some music, doing her homework, when in walks her mama to slap the shit out of this child for no damn reason. Talking about clean off the table. Why do I always have to say something twice?
I fucking hate that girl. God.
We are then treated to a montage of Kat saying, or at least physically looking at Ulrich and him looking at her as they say goodbye. Well, I should say see you later. Claudia finds the dead Regina. Trante, back in 87, is with his wife, comforting her as she sleeps on him. Elizabeth is looking at the notepad, the younger one in the future of Mom Sister Cave, where she clearly thinks that this is where they will be united. She's already got her mom, too. That's so fucking sad. Probably thinks she's going to get her sister back there. Noah, he's moving bricks from the said cage. Because, you know, that's how he began his life and how he ended his life. Jonas goes to Martha's empty bed as Bartos is taking Martha to Sigmundus home base, where Adam has clearly not made it his home yet. I was very scared about what was about to happen because I'm thinking Bartos, you know, he been playing third wheel for a minute, and I would not blame him if he just snapped. But he tells her that this is Tana's place, and this is Sigmundus. It's a society where the old man is the only one left. So he's just like he would be with the other Martha. Like, oh, I'm just going to tell you everything. Jonas apparently told the group that Adam killed Martha. But not who the fuck Adam is. And this Martha is not trying to have Jonas's back, A, because he keeps physically assaulting her. She feels very uncomfortable with him. It actually is really startling just a bit. Like, even when he walks toward her, she's just like, I don't want nothing to do with that. But she breaks out the bombshell. He is Adam. If they had left the episode right there, I might not have had the strength to not watch the next one immediately. Because I'm like, Bartos about to mark him. But then we don't see Bartos in the future, so clearly he gonna fail. Or maybe they kicked out Bartos and he went and had some kids and now he sent his children out for revenge. I don't know. Right after this, though, we see future Martha is telling young Jonas, after he finally in her world, that hey, above a picture of Adam and Eve, mind you that all the worlds are going to meet the same fate. So this is when I started thinking there might be two Jonases that have two different experiences, because why wouldn't the other Jonas know all of this shit? She mentions Mikael specifically and tells him her world is going to end in 3 days' time. It happens to all of them, by the way. But my first question after these reveals was, what happened to your face? Who slashed you there? I want to know the story behind that. I'm really sad that we never got the story behind Waller. He just has a missing piece of his body. Every Waller in every time period, every time place has a part of his being missing, whether it's an eye or an arm. And that is how we ended the episode. I think I did all my theorizing within the recap, so let's just jump into this feedback.
Mail, motherfucker!
I do not recall who went first last week, so we're just going to start with Mimi. She says, okay, Stina, so once again, after watching Dark, I'm like, she's got nothing but confused, puzzled. And a raised question with, I don't get it. LOL, I came into this final season knowing I would be lost the most of, or would be lost most of the time, but I at least understand the difference in which world we're in now. Seeing our world adult Jonas, Fran, Magnus, Bartos, and the other world Martha together helped me pinpoint the differences, so now when they jump back and forth, I'll at least know that. It sounds so pathetic when I actually type it out. Jesus helped me comprehend this each episode. LOL, I'm so curious to know how other folks feel about this show, but I don't have the patience or energy to invest in searching for another podcast. Besides, I like my Couch Queens podcast too much to ever stray. Enough out of me. Let's get into this feedback. You know, I really don't hear too many Dark episodes. There was a British one that I tried to listen to after I had finished the second season, and I honestly could not comprehend what they were saying most of the time. And you know I'm down with the British. I got BritBox, which you tried to trash me on social media about. You and Shy, I saw that. Y'all can go kiss my ass. I like my British TV. It's only $6.99, don't judge me. But I really don't see it too many out there. I think Bald Boov does like a whole recap on the whole season, though, if you want to check that out after we're done. But I appreciate you tuning in just for me. I love it. First off, can I say I hate scenes in TV shows where characters want to argue about how illogically it is to have a multiverse when the show's focal point is on time travel or something supernatural. Facts. Bitch, you just found out that time travel is a thing. How far-fetched could multiverse be? If I find out time travel was a real life thing, a motherfucker could tell me aliens exist, a multiverse, and superheroes are real, and I would say, okay. I would believe any and everything at that point. So Magnus yelling at Otherworld Martha about her not being his Martha makes him sound like a damn fool. Just shut up and listen, boy. Also, adult Jonas is an asshole. Facts. I can totally understand how he turned into Adam now. The way he manhandled Otherworld Martha was not the sweet and soft Jonas we grew to love. That motherfucker needed his ass whooped, and I'm mad Magnus ain't go off, right? That's your sister. At least in that particular moment, he thought it was his sister. And you let this man put his hands on her, like for real. What an asshole this Jonas is. not a fan. My Katarina is back. This my bitch right here. She's a boss ass bitch. Bitch. I love boss bitch Katarina. She's my favorite. Seeing her bully young Hannah shouldn't have been exhilarating, but it was. LOL, I mean, she's a child and our Katarina is a grown ass woman, but she also already just made up a whole rape story to try to separate two people. So no, she crazy. LOL, as she says, I already read that part. But seeing that interaction made me cackle. I can't even lie, I totally forgot she went to 1987 to find Mikkel. Now that she's found Ulrich, I wonder how she plans on getting him out of the mental hospital. She about to jailbreak that. But I swear she looked fucking, she looked determined as fuck. She really did. I hope she just don't end up in there with him. Because that would just be the saddest thing ever. And Ennis really would deserve to get her ass whooped. If she can't find her child, she's going to get her husband. And I ain't mad at that. Not at all. We know Ulrich is a fuckboy, but that's her husband for better or worse. And she's going to protect him. And that's noble as fuck. I really love me some Katarina. I don't know if I said that enough, so I just wanted to say it again. Remind me again, how did our Charlotte end up with future Elizabeth? Oh, they touched hands in the power plant. They saw each other. There was like a time space open. And she's like, Mom? She's like, Elizabeth? Then they touched and apparently she must have just zapped into the future and everyone else died. She continues, and I still think our Charlotte is the paradox and she needs to not exist. I don't know though. I don't know if she's a paradox. Yes, she is. Yes, you're right. She's a paradox, but I feel she... I don't know. I guess they're both paradoxes. Her and Jonas. Look, I can't. I've done enough heavy lifting on the think tank tonight. I can't deal anymore. I never thought Jonas was the beginning. It was always Charlotte. And since she exists in both worlds, I'm starting to think maybe I may be onto something. Maybe you are. I don't like making hard predictions or theories because this show is cray cray and they never want people to see what's coming next. So I may be way off, but I think Charlotte is the person we need to follow and understand in order to stop the apocalypse. I have think it's something to do with Adam. I think the Adam and Eve thing. I think it's Martha and Jonas. And that just because Jonas is not in her world, that just made her the default Jonas. So it always comes down to him. Actually, I think for some reason, I think Mikkel is one of the bigger mysteries in all of this. He seems like the greatest pawn of all, but they keep bringing it back to him. She continues, young kid in the cave. Was that Noah?
Yup.
I swear I can't remember what young Noah looks like. And I told you how I feel about Googling stuff right now. There's too many opportunities for spoilers and I refuse to get spoiled. Now, I originally planned on binging the hell out of the show, but Shy brought up a really good point. We aren't getting new seasons of shows for a while, so this is all we got for a while, and there's only 8 episodes, I believe, and Umbrella Academy doesn't drop until July 31st, so we got over 4 weeks to kill, so I'm pacing myself. Yeah, that's pretty much how I spread it out in my calendar, too. I was like, this should be done right before Umbrella Academy, and it's perfect. And then I can move on to 13 Reasons Why once I'm done with Counterpart, and I'll be happy having a really good August. Because apparently, yes, things are not coming back for a while for us people in the USA. I know I'll be ahead of you, Stina, but I'm trying really, really hard to only watch 2 episodes per week max. Anywho, until next time, love, peace, hair grease, black lives still matter even though it's no longer trending, and justice for Breonna Taylor. She says queen of the couch, maybe out with her Black Lives Matter sign. Yeah, I don't, and I have a big thing with trending, just because it's like it doesn't, like how I saw people out in the streets, like they're still protesting every single day Black Lives Matter in New York. Just because it's not on the news, that's just our world in which that we live, that on social media things move from one thing to the next. right? But it doesn't mean it's not still happening in the world. So it means 10 times more to me that people are still showing up and protesting than it does the fact that the social media is not saying, let's all talk about this right now. Because you can't really focus on one thing all the time. You're having different conversations. Those conversations branch out to other conversations. And so you get the same topic of, you know, the focal point is Black Lives Matter, but other discussions are being done, like the senator race or the you know, what's happening in the politics. Hey, hell, Berman stepped down, but that didn't mean that that bitch Giselle was not getting arrested, and we all waiting for that tea to drop. Trump's book got blocked. I mean, there's just so many other things that are being, I mean, except for the justice for Breonna Taylor. Yeah, can we get on that? Can we get on that? But there are people still petitioning, signing petitions, harassing the police station to bring these people accountable. If we got them fired, we have to keep at it. That's just all it is to it. Gotta keep at it. That's moving on to Shy, who says, hey, Christina, how goes it? Well, as you know, I'm trying to keep it moving, getting a bit restless with the Rona and irritated that so many people aren't taking it as seriously as they should. Girl, it's not so many people. It's that 5% that live in Texas, Florida, and Arizona. Yes, there are fools out there in the world, but there are more foolish people than others, and those are all Republican states, I believe. So, I mean, most people are taking it seriously. It's just those ones that don't believe in institutionalized racism. It's not that hard to wear a mask or a damn mask, yet went to the grocery store today and so many white folks not only not wearing masks, but they be all up in people's space, so not even doing the distancing. It's just crazy. Quite frankly, if you are close to me without a mask, I will say something. That's just how it is. It's how it is. If you are in my 6 feet, if you want to stay 6 feet away and you ain't got no mask on, I'm going to trash you, but I'm going to talk loud. Like, me and my sister walked around in Walmart. We was clowning the entire time. Lady was over there and had a mask on, got her little baby out, and I said, damn. You must really like playing Russian roulette out here with no mask and your baby ain't got no socks and shoes on. We just say it really loud and embarrass the fuck out of them. And if they want to come at it, we can do this. But they never do because they know we're right. She continues, it's just crazy. The U.S. is showing our ass to the world. When have we not? Showing the world what a bunch of entitled idiots we are. I mean, I'm not going to put myself in that class. There are some entitled idiots out there, yes. But it's kind of like your family. Just because we're related, don't mean I gotta claim you. So she continues, they should keep their borders closed to us because we clearly don't give a fuck about people in our own damn country. We damn sure not going to give a damn about theirs. When did we hear? I mean, girl, you going real political right now, because I'm like, that's a whole, we can go on a whole tangent about that. She continues, anyway, onto this crazy ass show. Why the fuck do they make Jonas so damn creepy? Now he's watching other Martha sleeping. Just stop already. I'm so glad this Martha is not into Jonas. That definitely makes the character a lot more bearable. I'm beginning to be suspicious of Bartos. Girl, you should be suspicious of Martha, because I have to have a feeling that she lost someone and it's Jonah's fault and she ain't happy. Because every time she gets near him, she acts a certain way. Like she's either terrified of him, because he probably let his creep factor go all the way. Somehow, and she got a boyfriend. She clearly in love. He's always around and we've yet to see why. Bartos? Because he gonna die a miserable fate. The Tiedemans ain't gonna make it, man. All the Tiedemans going down. Claudia dead. Regina dead. The Alexander dead. That family seems to go with the wind. She continues, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the mastermind behind all of this. Oh no. That would be really a plot twist. Dude is always just lurking about when I've yet to understand why. He's just that constant third wheel. And he's gonna snap. Eventually he's gonna snap. I think this Adam reveal gonna snap him. Sure, I could be wrong, but he's on my radar. Shout out to the Goonies poster. Loved that movie when I was a kid. So Ennis and Mikhail took off after the incident with Ulrich. Now we have Katarina showing up in the past, wreaking havoc with the past. Why the fuck are they all so extra when they go to the past? Like, nobody is going to give a complete stranger information like that. I don't even think that it's the past thing. It's just, I think that's how the, it's a trait of the, what do you call, what's her last name? Shit, the Nielsens. They go ham. They're very passionate. That's why they love each other so much, because they both just have that straight up. I mean, but she ain't got nothing to lose. So it's kind of like, why do I need to walk around and tiptoe about this? I'm on a mission. She always been like that, though. Remember how she walked in the police station with Charlotte when Ulrich went missing? How about being a little bit more subtle in your approach instead of being so antagonistic? There's just no such thing as preserving any type of timeline. Homegirl snatches up young Hannah. She says, homegirl snatches up young Hannah and tells her to stay the fuck away from Ulrich and Mikhail, which probably set in motion Hannah doing the very thing she warned her not to do. So yeah, thanks Katarina for probably setting that in motion. Oh no, I don't believe that. Hannah was already crazy, and she already met Mikhail, and they're both outsiders. So I think they naturally was already gravitating towards each other. And I mean, Hannah wanted Ulrich since before she even came back. Nah, I don't think she set that in motion. She continues, well, we finally see young Noah stalking Elizabeth, more creepy veil going down. Sounds like Noah is about to do away with Peter to get to Elizabeth. Him planting the seed about the caves. Yep, I can see Elizabeth curiously will have her going to the caves at some point, thinking this may be where she can find her mother and Fran. Damn, Mrs. Nielsen forgot her first name. Just put Chante on blast in front of everyone. She was spinning out facts. So Chante is Regina's father. I'm thinking so. I'm guessing some version of Claudia told Chante to kill Regina. I didn't consider that. Like, the older version was like, hey. But I would think... That's a good theory. Damn, she looks so shook, though. Maybe she was like, it's gotta happen the way it happened. But she didn't know it happened the way... I don't know. You could be on to something there. Not sure why when there's the younger version of Claudia tending to Regina. She seems shocked that Regina was dead when she returned, so I'm guessing that version of her didn't know that she had her daughter killed. Unless Chante is referring to someone else. I don't fucking know. I can't see him wanting to kill the daughter, though. Or her wanting to kill her daughter. That was her whole goal. Is I need to make this right. I need to bring her back. I need to... Like, my daughter was my most important thing. I don't know. The fact that they had Chante saying pick a side right before, and then all of a sudden he killed his daughter, makes me think Mrs. Nielsen's in the background still pulling them strings. She says, what's up with the blind guy? Did I miss them saying who he was? He's obviously a huge player in the Sigmundus cult. So the three-in-one dude, or three horsemen as you called them, just straight up killed poor Jasmine and her unborn child. Damn, that was some cold-blooded shit right there. Who the fuck is this dude? Sorry, I'm still tripping out about the whole Charlotte / Elizabeth dynamic. That's some serious mind-blowing shit. Your mother is your daughter is your mother. Nope, not going down that rabbit hole. I agree, Charlotte does seem softer on the other earth. So we don't see young Jonas until the end, when older Martha is talking to him about how their worlds are intertwined some way with the same origin story and from what I understand. All right, I'm done. Again, that's what I get for thinking I had to handle on this show. I enjoyed the episode. Wish I understood what the fuck is going on, but hey, I'm enjoying the ride. I think I'm going to watch episode 3 tomorrow. Well, that's what I have for now. I feel like I was rambling during this feedback, so sorry. You are not rambling. But I know you're not judging me. Hopefully you're semi-sober when you're reading it. If not, damn, I'm sure you did your best. Until next time, Black Lives Matter, much love, peace and black girl magic, queen of the couch, that is Miss Shy. So Stan, there's some good ideas. Shy might be onto something. There's more, if there's more one Jonas, there could be possibly more other people. What that would do to everything would just probably make it all the more hard to follow. But I have faith that this show is just going to be like, oh, you thought skirt? And then it's all going to make sense. It's going to fall in line. And then we're going to be like, oh, give them all of the awards. I mean, I'm already saying give them all of the awards, but that is the episode. If you want to send feedback for the next episode, you can send that to blackocouch@gmail.com. Or you can leave a comment below on this podcast. You can find this podcast, Black Girl Couch Reviews, on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, and wherever else good podcasts be found. My social media will be below. Remember to like, share, subscribe. And if you have time, run over to iTunes to leave a review. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and Black Girl Magic.